three black spheres form the head and ears of a Mickey Mouse symbol. Disney Videos.
A shooting star flies over a bright blue fairy castle. Walt Disney Pictures. Through murky grey-green mist, a squat three-legged cooking pot appears. Glaring from the side of the cauldron is a grim mask with a cruel, downturned mouth.
Legend has it, in the mystic land of Bredain, there was once a king so cruel and so evil that even the gods feared him. Since no prison could hold him, he was thrown alive into a crucible of molten iron. There, his demonic spirit was captured in the form of a great black cauldron. For uncounted centuries, the black cauldron lay hidden, waiting, while evil men searched for it, knowing whoever possessed it would have the power to resurrect an army of deathless warriors, and with them, rule the world.
Against a black background, gold Gothic letters spell The Black Cauldron. In a sunny forest glade beside a glittering stream stands a rambling house with pale yellow thatch. From the branch of an oak tree, a red squirrel glances down at the house. Inside, a brown cat stretches, leaps off a leather-bound tome, and stares up at an old man with a bald head and bushy grey eyebrows.
Something wrong. I can feel it in my bones. The fair folk know it too. You don't see any of them around. Horned King, that black-hearted devil. What's he waiting for? This cat, I know you want your breakfast, but just now thinking is more important. Taran! The pot is boiling over, Taran!
A young man daydreams.
Oh, Dauban, I was just thinking. What if the war's over? And I never had a chance to fight.
And a good thing, too. War isn't a game. People get hurt.
But I'm not afraid. Ouch!
Yes, there you are. If the Horned King ever returns, you'll have a great deal more to worry about than a burned finger. No, Cat, that is not for you. It's for Henwin.
Henwin. It's always Henwin.
And one day, my boy, may learn why. Now, no more dreaming. You have chores to do.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's so anxious and so blind to the dangers ahead.
The old man lifts the pot lid.
Look, Cat, you're in luck. Just enough left for you.
The cat shakes its head. Outside, Taran kicks a stick.
Dauban doesn't understand. I'm not a little boy anymore.
He crosses a bridge to a thatched sty and shoves the bowl of porridge inside.
I should be doing heroic deeds for Bredain, not waiting hand and foot on a spoil. Hey! Oh, all right, Hen. I didn't mean it.
The bowl shoots out, followed by a small pink pig.
You'd better eat it. Dauby made it especially for you.
The pig takes a mouthful, crosses its eyes, and backs away.
Oh.
Is this to be my life? Pampering a pig? I'm a warrior, not a pig keeper. Dauban thinks I'd be afraid, but I wouldn't. All I need is a chance, and I could be a famous warrior.
Taran picks up a stick.
Look at me, Hen. I can do it. Ha!
He waves the stick, and Henwin runs.
Even you're afraid. Do you challenge me? Run, you coward!
Taran advances on the white ducks, waving the stick like a rapier. The ducks scatter behind a hayrick, and a billy goat wanders out to face him.
There you are. His Majesty, the Horned King. So, we meet at last.
Ha! He rattles the goat's horns.
Even the Horned King shakes with fear. See, Hen? Everybody runs from the famous Taran of Caer Dauban.
Taran turns away, the goat butts him, and he flies head over heels into the mud.
Bredain's finest warrior draws his last breath.
He flops back in the mud, eyes closed. Henwin nuzzles him. As Taran opens one eye and grins, a shadow falls over them.
Dorben!
Not quite the glade for a hero.
It's just that we were... Henwin got dirty.
Oh, I see. Another dream, Taran.
But, Dorben, won't I ever be anything but an assistant pig-keeper?
She's a special pig, Taran.
Dorben tickles Henwin's tummy.
I'll give her a nice bath.
Well, Hen, it looks as though I'll still be an assistant pig-keeper when I'm as old as Dorben.
Taran plops Henwin into a tub and pours water over her.
You like that, don't you? Now for the part you like best.
He gently scrubs Henwin's back with a brush, and her eyes close contentedly. They open again suddenly. She struggles to get out.
Hey, come on, Hen. I haven't finished scrubbing your back. Hen, what's the matter? Calm down, Hen. Stop it, please. What's the matter? Henwin!
Taran, what's going on?
I don't know. There's something wrong with Henwin.
What? Oh, quickly, Dad. Bring her inside.
Inside the darkened house, Dorben lights a candle beside a wide, shallow dish of water. Taran carries in the pig.
What's that for?
Put Henwin down. I never use her powers unless I have to. But now I must.
Powers?
Taran, what you are about to see, you must never reveal to anyone.
Dorben stirs the water slowly.
Henwin, from you I do beseech knowledge that lies beyond my reach. Troubled thoughts weigh on your heart. Pray you now those thoughts impart.
Henwin stares into the swirling water. Her eyes close and her chin drops into the dish. Her eyes glow, and from them streaks of mauve glide across the water to the dark spinning vortex. Lighter shades of green take the shape of a horned horseman galloping furiously.
The Horned King.
Taran opens his mouth, but Dorben holds up a finger. The center of the vortex turns golden yellow, and the swirling figure crimson. The crimson shades spread, becoming darker, and another form grows in the whirling water, squat and round, heavy, dark, and ominous.
The Black Cauldron! So that's it!
The Black Cauldron?
An awesome weapon, Taran. It's been hidden for centuries, but if the Horned King should find it and unleash its power, nothing could stand against him.
In the water, a pink figure takes shape.
That's Henwin!
He knows. Stop! Enough!
Henwin wakes up.
You must leave here at once. Take Henwin to the hidden cottage at the edge of the Forbidden Forest. Hide there and never bring her out until I come for you.
Hide? But why?
Only I knew the secret of Henwin's power. But now the Horned King has discovered it. We must make sure he never uses it to find the Black Cauldron.
I'm not afraid of the Horned King.
Then you are a very foolish lad. Untried courage is no match for his evil. Just remember that. Now, off you go, my boy, and take care of yourself.
Taran hugs the old man.
Goodbye, Dorben. I won't fail.
Henwin, with a rope tied loosely round her neck, opens the door with her snout. Taran grabs the other end of the rope, and Henwin yanks him outside.
So much, so soon. To rest on his young shoulders.
A tall black castle stands menacingly against the grey cloudy sky. Spiky turrets stick out like enormous thorns from its sides, and ghastly winged creatures flap slowly round it. A few lights glimmer on its walls, and mist hangs over the moat. Inside, flaming torches throw a flickering yellow light on skulls set in a pillar. A tall, shapeless figure, with short, thick horns curving through the cloth of his hood, looks slowly from side to side. His feet, almost covered by his long gown, pad carefully through the thin mist creeping over the stone floor. He stops in a shadowy chamber where skeletons and rusting weapons lie scattered about and stretches out his green bony hands. His skull-like face peers from the shadow of his hood.
Oh, yes. Yes, my soldiers. Soon the Black Cauldron will be mine. Its evil power will course through my veins. And I shall make you Cauldron Born. Yes, yes, oh yes, then you will worship me! Me. Oh, my soldiers, how long I have thirsted.
On a sunny day, Taran leads Henwen through a meadow dotted with white flowers.
Gosh, Henwen, I never knew you could create visions and things like that. I thought you were just an ordinary pig. I had no idea you were so special. Dorben's going to be glad that he put his trust in me. Just you wait and see. Now don't go wandering about. And don't you worry. Keep close to me and no one will do you any harm. Not while I'm around.
He stops and kneels beside a pond of clear water.
And I won't let the Horned King get close to you, Hen. I'll protect you.
He grabs a stick and in the water sees himself in gold armor, wielding a sword and shield.
Taran of Ker Dolben, the greatest warrior in all Prydain, a true hero.
Taran bows graciously.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. But without the help of my pig Henwen here, I... Henwen? Where are you? Henwen?
He opens his eyes.
Oh, no!
He flings down the stick and rushes off.
Hen?
He heads into a wood, hurdling over a tree root and ducking under a branch, and stops in a little clearing.
Henwen!
Taran creeps forward nervously.
Is that you, Hen?
He pulls a shiny red apple from his tunic.
Look what I've got. Come on out. Here's a lovely...
A small furry creature dive-bombs him.
Oh, great prince. Give poor starving Googie munchings and crunchings. Nice apple.
Taran picks himself up.
Good prince, good apple. Oh boy, what a juicy apple.
Googie bounces away and Taran grabs him.
Hey, no you don't. I didn't give you that apple. You took it.
Ow!
And gets bitten.
Hey! Hold on, you hairy little thief. Come back with my apple. If you don't give it back, you'll be sorry. I mean it.
He picks up a stick.
I'm warning you.
Googie sidles out of a bush.
Give it back.
Googie, small and fawn-coloured, with a mop of white hair, opens his empty hands and grins pleadingly up at Taran.
Come on, the apple. Where is it?
Googie not know where the apple.
The apple rolls out of his thick hair and Googie dives on it.
Give it back. I warn you.
Taran raises his stick.
Come on.
Googie gazes yearningly at the apple. He looks up wistfully at Taran.
Come on, the apple, let's have it.
Sadly, Googie holds out the apple. Chomps a mouthful, then hands it over.
You horrible, greedy thing. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, poor miserable Googie deserves fierce smackings and whackings on his poor tender head. I was left with no munchings and crunchies.
He clasped Taran's legs.
Forgive poor Googie.
Oh, stop that snivelling. I'm not going to hurt you. Now look here. Have you seen my pig?
Piggy? Round? Fat piggy? Big snout?
Yes. Yes.
Curly tail.
That's her. That's Henwen.
Nope. Googie not see piggy. Nope.
Oh, never mind. No telling where Henwen is by now.
Taran pockets the apple.
Master, master. Now Googie remembers. Yes, yes. Clever, sharp-eyed Googie saw the piggy run. Yes, right through the forest. I saw it. Come. Googie will find the lost piggy. Then we'll be friends forever.
Leaping up, he searches Taran's tunic.
Munchings and crunchings in here somewhere.
It's Henwin. She's in trouble.
Come on.
They race in opposite directions.
Hen!
Taran sees Henwin galloping frantically round a clearing.
Henwin!
Two huge winged dragons soar and swoop above the terrified little pig. One of the dragons dives towards the pig, long claws outstretched, eyes glowing.
Henwin, look out!
Henwin desperately skids and turns. The dragon grabs her but can't hold on, and Henwin sprints away again, the dragon skimming the ground just behind her.
Look out!
Stones fly as the dragon's feet hit the ground.
Come on, hurry, Hen! No! No! Hen, hurry!
Before Taran can reach them, the dragon scoops Henwin into the air.
No! No! No!
Taran clings to the dragon's tail.
No! No! Come back!
The second dragon flattens Taran, then soars away after its mate. Taran tears along behind them as they head into the red sunset. He fights through a tangle of trees, scrambles up a rocky slope, slips and slides down, and struggles up again until he reaches the cliff top and gazes across a bleak plain dotted with spiteful rocky outcrops. High above, the two dragons flap steadily towards the towering black castle of the Horned King. Lightning flickers against the lowering red sky.
Henwin! I must get her out of there.
Oh, no, great lord. Not going there. Forget the piggy.
What are you doing here?
Going to come back to be your friend.
Friend? You're no friend. Why, you ran away when I... Oh, never mind. I promised Dorben I would keep Hen safe. I have to go. Well, are you coming?
Me? Go in there? Oh, no, no, no. It's a terrible place.
Just as I thought. You're no friend. You're just a miserable coward. Here. This is all you wanted.
Taran lobs the apple back at the unhappy Gurgi and stomps off towards the castle.
If Great Lord go into evil castle, poor Gurgi will never see his friend again. No, never.
Gurgi watches miserably from the clifftop as night falls. Taran hauls himself slowly up the castle wall, his fingers reaching for cracks, his feet feeling for toe holes. Lightning flashes turn the grey walls silver. A stone beneath Taran's foot crumbles and the pieces bounce into the moat far below. He clings on and breaks away a thorny branch, revealing an opening in the wall. Yellow torchlight glows on his face as he scrambles inside. Wide-eyed, he glances from side to side, then tiptoes through a wooden archway, turns a corner, heading for flickering light from another doorway in the grey stone wall, and peers in. He jumps back, before sneaking a look. A big man in a brown sleeveless tunic and purple hood sits slumped over a rough wooden table, his face in his arms. Taran tiptoes past the doorway, nips into a dark alcove and peers out. A collar and chain prevent the huge grey dog from reaching Taran. The man wakes.
Rascal dolt, always barking at nothing. All right, might as well make our rounds.
Taran leans back in relief, and a door swings open behind him. He slips through, and from a narrow rafter gapes down at the great hall, where big, rough men are feasting and drinking beer.
Here's to everybody! More wine and beef for my men!
Women!
Quiet!
I'm trying to sleep!
A curvaceous woman dances on a table.
What about a gift, eh, princess? Gad, you're a lovely one!
A man gnaws a bone. The two dragons, chained to a perch, fight over the bone.
Keep your hands off, you little creeper!
A small green creature hops away with a slice of meat.
Where, creeper?
And is tripped up.
Kiss me, love, and I'll die with a smile on my face.
The dancer's mouth drops open, and she claps her hands to her face. The dog looks up fearfully, and his bone falls to the floor. The tattered flags high in the roof flutter. The room goes dark, and a streak of blue light twists and sizzles through it. Taran reels back as the light explodes into flame. The flames shrink into a solid, dark figure silhouetted against bright blue light. The figure disappears in swirling clouds outlined in red, and from them rise powerful, curved horns. The men gaze up, mouths agape, as the horned king emerges, swathed in fire and smoke, and slowly ascends to his throne. The little green creeper sweeps the stone steps before him.
Welcome, Your Majesty. We're just celebrating our success. Oh, I mean your success. We've made no mistakes this time.
The creeper squats at the king's feet.
Bring in the prisoner.
Taran watches in horror as a hulking guard enters, tugging a chain, at the end of which is Henwen, whose head droops miserably.
There, sire. This is the pig that creates visions. All right, pig. Show His Majesty where the black cauldron can be found. Go on, show it.
Henwen backs away, eyes closed, snout in the air.
Stubborn little thing, isn't she?
The king grabs Creeper by the throat and drops him again.
Why, yes, sire. You're quite right. I'll take care of it at once. The black cauldron. Where is it? Show us, swine. I warn you, the king's patience is short.
Creeper thrusts a burning coal at Henwen.
No!
Taran overbalances and falls, clutching at a flag on the way. Taran grabs a broom. A huge sword slices through the broom.
Release him.
What? The man hurls Taran to the floor.
Henwen. Oh, Henwen. There.
I presume, my boy, you are the keeper of this oracular pig.
Taran looks up fearfully at the horned king.
Yes, sir.
Then instruct her to show me the whereabouts of the black cauldron.
Oh, sir, I can't. I promised.
Very well. In that case, the pig is no use to me.
The king crushes a drinking goblet.
What are you going to do?
Creeper holds Henwen down.
No, you can't!
An axe is swung high above the pig. Henwen covers her eyes.
No! Stop! I'll make her tell you.
That's better.
No! Get on with the vision, pig!
Strong hands fling them down beside a bowl.
Henwen, from you, I do beseech knowledge that lies beyond my reach.
Henwen falls into a trance.
Look, sire, it's working.
A dark shape forms in the bowl.
The black cauldron, so it does exist. Oh, yes.
The king rises.
Where is it? Show me.
He looms over Taran.
Show me.
Taran looks into the king's glowing eyes. He overturns the bowl, splashing the king's face. Taran grabs Hen and runs.
Catch them!
Huge men wielding swords and axes pound after them. The two dragons, still chained, dive into the air, yanking their perch behind them. It knocks a brazier full of burning coal into the path of the charging men. The dragons follow Taran through a door, but their perch, wider than the doorway, catches on it and they crash to the stone floor, stunned. In the next room, a butcher is chopping meat. Creeper lurches up behind Taran. The butcher hurls his cleaver. Creeper leaps. Taran ducks.
Big boy!
The cleaver misses, and Creeper flies over Taran's head into a barrel, which knocks the butcher flying. Taran races on, locking a door behind him, and reaches the battlements. He stares down at the water below.
The moat. It's our only chance.
Taran struggles to lift and shove Hen over the battlements. Behind them, the locked door bulges and cracks.
Swim, Hen! Swim!
Hen disappears into the moat just as Creeper bursts through the door and grabs Taran's legs.
Coming!
Gotcha, pig boy! I caught him, Your Majesty! I caught the boy!
But you let the pig go, didn't you?
It wasn't my fault.
The king grips Creeper by the throat, then drops him.
Throw the boy into the dungeon.
The men's giant shadows close in on Taran, cowering on the floor. Head drooping, Taran sits miserably on the floor of a dungeon so deep that light from a grating high above hardly reaches him.
You must make sure he never uses Henwen to find the Black Cauldron.
I won't fail you, Dorben. Look at me, Hen. I can do it.
Taran slams a pebble into the stone wall.
Do it. I can do it.
He drops the pebble, crouching on all fours, head down. A flagstone swings up. From below, a golden bauble like a glowing tennis ball floats up, followed by a girl with long blonde hair.
I thought I heard a noise in here. Oh, was that you?
Yeah, yes.
You're being held a prisoner, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm being held against my will, too.
The little bauble flashes.
It lights up.
Why, of course. It's magic. Oh, I hate this place. I do hope there aren't any rats in here. Well, not that I really mind them, you know. But they do jump out at one, so. I'm Princess Alonwi. Are you a lord or a warrior?
No. I'm an assistant pigkeeper.
Oh, what a pity. I was so hoping for someone who could help me escape. Oh, well, if you want to come with me, you may.
Can I?
Well, yes, I said you could.
She slips back down the hole.
Oh, that wicked, wicked king. You know he stole me. He thought my bauble could tell him where some old cauldron was.
That's what he wanted my pig for.
Oh, yes, your pig.
But my pig can tell the future.
Ooh, how interesting. Well, you'd better stay close to me or you'll get lost.
The bauble floats ahead of them, lighting their path through an underground passage littered with broken timbers and rubble. Rats scamper from the light, and the bauble chases one, which turns and snarls before leaping through a hole in the passage wall. The bauble follows.
Your bauble!
Oh, it's always chasing those rats.
Taran peers through into a dusty chamber with a tomb in it.
Burial chamber. This could be the tomb of the great king who built this castle, before the Horned King took it over.
The wall collapses and Taran falls, smothered in dust and stones.
Are you all right?
Taran looks up crossly.
Well, come on then. Help me look around.
He picks himself up inside the chamber and wipes dust from his face. While Alonwi explores a passage on the left, he steps cautiously down stone stairs, brushing aside cobwebs. The tomb in the center of the chamber is massive, as tall as he is.
He must have been a great warrior.
Getting closer, Taran pushes aside a curtain of cobwebs and stands on a pedestal at the base of the tomb.
A sword!
He brushes away a thick layer of dust, and the golden sword hilt glints brightly. He turns to Ilonwi, who's peering into a passage beside the chamber when her bauble suddenly dims.
This will please him. It's a good lot this time. Hurry! In with it! Finally, he'll reward me for this. Don't stop, you weakling! Put some muscle into it!
Creeper is heaving doors open for a hulking, shaven-headed man hauling a covered wooden cart. It jolts, and the arm of a knight in armor flops out and trails behind it.
Let's get out of here before they come back.
Creeper closes the doors, and the bauble, giving off a feeble blue light, leads Ilonwi and Taran across the passage. They rest against the walls of an alcove. The bauble glows yellow again.
Where did you get that sword?
Back there.
You mean...
Well, he's not going to use it.
Oh. Ilonwi recoils while the bauble flits to a window in a door.
I'm a bard! I sing. I entertain.
An old man's hands are tied to a high beam.
These are the hands of an artist!
This will hold you.
Now look, you seem an intelligent sort of chap to me. I assure you, I had no idea who owned this castle. I just happened to be passing. Oh, he's nice, isn't he? What's his name? Realize who I am. I shall sing of your dastardly deed. I'm Fruna Flam, minstrel of minstrels, balladeer to the grandest cocks in all the land.
A string on his harp breaks.
Oh, you've forgotten? I have sung in some of the finest courts.
And another.
Well, I'm only waiting for an invitation.
And a third.
Why do you have to judge every word I say?
He catches sight of a skeleton with a guitar round its neck hanging from a beam opposite.
Help! We'll have you untied in a moment. I'm Princess Ailonwy. And you're in bad trouble, aren't you?
Trouble? Don't you know where you are? Haven't you seen him?
Take my stick. Look at him.
We've been discovered.
That's you? Oh, great villain. Run. Run. Make haste. Make haste. I must save myself.
Fluda struggles to free himself while the others run off. Taran trips on the flagstones of a little bridge and drops the sword over the edge. He turns and sees guards pelting towards him. From under the bridge, Taran, holding the sword, listens to the guards passing, then creeps out and follows nervously.
Princess! Princess Ailonwy!
He tiptoes along the shadowy passage and round a corner.
Pig boy! Scut!
A towering guard wearing a wolfskin knocks the sword from Taran's hand. Taran ducks another blow. While the guard wrenches his axe out of a doorpost, Taran unsheathes his sword just in time to protect himself from the next swing of the axe. The sword flares into dazzling light and the axe blade shatters. The wolfman stares, drops his axe and runs away. Taran gazes at the still glowing sword. Slowly he stands and starts to grin. As the sword returns to its normal silver color, Taran swings it two-handed above his head, spinning round and round in circles.
Are you all right?
Oh, good. You're safe.
Well, of course.
Come on. I'm going to get you out of here.
Taking Ailonwy by the hand, Taran races down the passage.
Quick! Up here!
They sprint up some stairs. A guard attacks. Taran's sword glows. The guard flies downstairs into two others.
Taran! The sword!
Help!
Fluda swings off a balcony on a rope with the dog gripping his trousers.
Princess.
Taran stops by a row of gigantic barrels. He thrusts the glowing sword into the barrels, fountains of red wine gush out, and the chasing guards slip and slither on the flooded floor. Taran slams a heavy door behind him, and they race across a great hall. They dash under a bridge with guards on it.
Stop him!
As the guards above hurl spears at them, Ailonwy spots Creeper. They turn back again, but guards are closing in from all sides. They find themselves facing the drawbridge, closed and as tall as the castle walls. Turning again, they see Creeper leading a mob of guards towards them.
Come on, get them!
Oh, no! Taran!
We've got you now, big boy!
Taran, do something!
Axes and spears bury themselves in the drawbridge. Creeper watches horror-struck as the sword cuts through a heavy chain holding the drawbridge.
Make way! Stand aside, I command you! Get out from under my feet!
Fluda leapfrogs Creeper, who's flattened by the dog.
Go, you! Run, Princess! Run!
They run as the portcullis falls.
Why didn't you tell me you had a magic sword?
Fluda squeezes through, leaving the dog holding the seat of his pants. The dog conks out. In the dimness of the castle, Creeper drags himself up a stone staircase.
I'll see. It wasn't my fault. That's it. That's it. I always get blamed for these things. I'll just tell him. And if he gets mad, I'll just straighten him out. That's it. I'm not going to be kicked around for this.
Outside a heavy wooden door, Creeper hesitates, trembling, then knocks.
Sire?
In the gloomy, cobweb-draped room, the king stands with his back to the door.
You bring news of the pig.
Not exactly, sire. It's the pig keeper. He's escaped.
Sitting on a wooden throne, the king beckons Creeper with a long, bony finger.
Oh, sire! Allow me.
Creeper grasps his own throat and squeezes tight.
Is he dead? No.
Good. He'll find his pig. Send the Gwythents to follow that boy.
Oh, yes, sire. Oh, yes. By all means, sire.
The little creature bounds away on its cloven feet. The Gwythents, the king's dragons, swoop between jagged rocks. By a stream in the forest, Fluda plays his harp.
The world will applaud me, its praise will reward me, and I, Fluda Flam, will find fame.
They're almost finished, Fluda.
Ilonwy holds up his trousers.
It's not too good, but it'll hold for a while.
Yes, I shall sing of your deed.
It would be better to sing of our heroic escape. Weren't you a bit frightened, Fluda?
A Flam frightened? The word is not in my vocabulary. But in this case, well chosen, my dear.
I wasn't afraid.
Ouch! Not afraid? Why, we were running for our lives.
Well, I got us out of the castle, didn't I?
You? I'd say it was the sword's magic.
But it takes a great warrior to handle a sword like this.
But still, it is a magic sword.
Ha! What does a girl know about swords anyway?
Girl? Girl? If it weren't for this girl, you would still be in the Horned King's dungeon.
You know, Princess Ilonwy, Taran.
At least I don't keep talking about it forever. Oh, you're so
No, Princess, I love me.
How dare you take his side?
She flings his trousers in his face.
I really didn't mean to interfere.
Silly girl. Even if she is a princess.
But we're going to have to...
Ilonwy walks unhappily off in one direction, Taran in another. He wanders beside the stream, head down, shoulders slumped, and kicks at a stone. Pushing aside some greenery, he stops and stares. Ilonwy is leaning against a tree.
Hello.
Hello. Fluda is right, you know. You're going to have to work together. And we'll find your pig. I'm sure it's important.
Thank you for getting me out of the dungeon.
Oh, but we couldn't have done it without you.
Well, at least we're all safe.
Fluda!
Help! Murder! Hurry!
Gurgi's lucky dog!
Gurgi tries on Fluda's hat.
Yes, keep it! It's a gift.
This. Gurgi want this.
Go ahead. I'm sure you've murdered for less.
Gurgi drags at the harp around Fluda's neck, half strangling him.
Gurgi.
Master. Fall down. Get up.
Gurgi tries to help Fluda up and whips off the hat.
Well, really? Yep. who is your pungent little friend?
He's no friend of mine. He's just a coward and a thief.
Too big anyway.
Gurgi looks downcast, then flicks back the hat. He turns and slicks down his unruly hair.
Oh, you're charming.
And pungent, too.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Yes, yes, exactly. Toddle off, toddle off.
Gurgi, go.
Tracks?
Tracks?
Gurgi, remember, saw a pig's tracks.
You did?
Today.
Today?
Wait a minute.
He'll try anything.
Oh, you're both horrid. He just might know.
Pretty lady come too?
Well, I...
Yes. Follow Gurgi,
You better be telling the truth.
Gurgi not lie. Not this time.
The evening light makes the streaks of cloud yellow and turns the forest mauve and purple as they follow Gurgi along a fallen tree bridging a river. In the grey-blue dusk, Gurgi stops by a pond.
See, Master? Piggy's footsteps. No lie.
Oh, good. They look fresh.
Gurgi hops onto some stepping stones, but the first one sinks as he leaves it, and the second rises up, then begins to spin round, faster and faster.
Oh, Master! Master!
Gurgi!
Taran slips into the whirlpool. Ailonwy hangs on to Fluda while she grabs Taran's hand, but the whirlpool drags them both in, spinning ever faster and dragging them under. In an underground cavern far below the water, the whirlpool retreats upwards through a hole. Four tiny people with pointed ears and transparent wings in different coloured outfits, pink, blue, green and yellow, flitter over inquisitively to peer down at Taran and his friends.
Uh-oh.
Asleep on a rock beside a trickling stream.
How did they get in here?
Old Dolly's whirlpool broke again. I bet they wake up soon.
We better tell King Idolake.
You silly. You know we're not supposed to be up here.
Uh-oh, they are going to be in trouble.
Not me.
Me either.
Three of them disappear in showers of sparks.
Uh-oh.
The fourth disappears too.
Oh, yes, I see you fixed that.
Yep. When?
An older one secures a structure...
I get this!
...of poles and ropes.
Peg it here! I'll be finished!
He hovers, grinning through his beard.
Good. Yes, that should work.
It's perfect! Grab that pole!
I got it!
A pole springs loose, and water starts to leak through the latticework. The bearded chap in yellow hangs on to two lengths of rope, while his companion in a red robe clings to a pole.
Oh, aren't you all darling?
Hello. I'm King Idleg of the Fair Folk.
How the blazes the gate!
The workman lets go of the rope, and a rush of water knocks both him and the king down.
I thought I told you to fix the whirlpool. I fixed it. I did fix it. It was perfect!
Evidently not completely perfect. It's supposed to keep them out. Can I be of any service?
It's everything that happens around here my fault.
Are you here on a friendly visit?
And I suppose it's my fault the pig's here too.
Henwin? Oh, she's your pig.
Oh, good. One less thing for old Dolly to worry about.
Dolly?
What? Now!
Would you hurry and fetch the pig?
Dolly yanks off his cap and kicks it.
Hey, you kid! What are you doing?
Oh, Mr. Dolly. I just want to see the pretty lady.
Well, now you watch yourself here.
Dolly wags a finger at the fair folk children and flies off. From all over the chamber, the tiny children fly up towards the humans, flitting around them. Each is dressed in pale blue, pink, yellow, green or orange, and would fit comfortably in a teacup. Ailonwy and Taran watch them with happy smiles, Fluda rather nervously.
I can't believe my eyes, Your Majesty.
Gurgi focuses hard on a child in yellow flying round his head. He tries to grab the child and looks startled as it twinkles and disappears, followed by the others. Henwin gallops up to Taran.
Thank goodness you're...
Henwin grins and licks Taran's face. While he makes a fuss of her, the king flies up to Fluda.
Tell me, is the burning and killing still going on up there?
You refer to that joke on humanity, the horned king.
Will no one ever stand up to him?
We've seen him, and if he finds the cauldron, he'll kill us all.
Oh, no, no, he'll never find it. No, no, it's safely hidden in Morva.
Morva?
At least I think it is. Oh, Dolly, is it?
Really? Is that one of my new jobs? Remembering where the cauldron was last seen?
Well, he'll know right where it is, you'll see.
If we could get to the cauldron first and destroy it...
Oh, this is right, Taran.
But don't you see? If we destroy the cauldron, it will stop the Horned King. Please, come with me.
Oh, wait, I never thought more of her. That's a hard place to get to.
Yep.
Why, you can take them.
What?
You mean, we're trusting our lives to him.
And what is wrong with me?
Nothing. Splendid choice. Shall we, then?
A couple of children reappear. Then suddenly the air is filled with streaks of glittering silver light swooping round the humans. Gergi, backing away, eyes wide, tumbles over, and the lights lift him into the air. Taran glances downwards.
Wait! Henry!
Oh, don't worry! We'll get her home safely!
Oh, thank you, sir. Be good, Hen.
Hen looks up, mouth open. Taran waves at her from the shimmering cushion of light, which lifts him gently upwards, beside Ailonwy and a worried-looking Fluda. Taran and the others file through a dim, misty wood where twisted, leafless trees drip damp strands of moss.
If it's the marshes of Morva you wanted, here you are.
Ooh, such a dreary place.
Let's see what it looks like from up here.
Taran clambers up a small hill.
I think we're lost.
Fluda catches up.
Oh. Are you sure this is the right place, Dolly?
Yes, I'm sure.
Well...
Dolly's perched in Fluda's hat.
If you ask me...
Fluda! Dolly!
Are you all right?
Hey, look out, you big clumsy oaf! Look where you... Uh-oh. Welcome to Morva.
A ramshackle cottage lurks amid the roots of a huge hollow tree.
Someone must live here.
Gergi not like this place. No.
It seems empty. Maybe we should have a look.
If I can just get this door open.
How will we ever find the Black Cauldron in a place like this?
It must be here somewhere.
From every dark cranny, pairs of blinking eyes watch the search. Fluda tiptoes past a cobwebby skull, watched by more pairs of eyes. Taran opens a cupboard. Gergi another. Ailonwy checks a drawer, and Taran lifts the lid of a chest. Dozens of green frogs spring out of the chest, knocking Taran backwards.
They're only frogs, Ailonwy.
Those were people!
You mean they were turned into frogs?
Oh, Master, come quickly! Gergi found the wicked cauldron! Quick, follow Gergi!
Gergi points proudly into a shadowy room.
Behold, Master!
The whole room is full of cauldrons!
I don't understand. Why would anyone want so many?
Thieves! Someone stole all our frogs!
Three red-haired witches appear.
You evil, nasty people! You shall all be turned into frogs and eaten!
Dolly disappears.
Nice and tender.
A witch snaps at Taran's arm.
So nice to meet you, ladies. Goodbye.
Wait! My! Aren't you the handsome one?
Who, me?
Oh, honestly now, don't you find me irresistible?
Yes, well, of course, Mr.
Shush, stop that.
You don't mind if I pluck your harp?
A buxom witch pushes Fluda down.
Do you handsome?
Bah! Enough of that lovesick nonsense!
Fluda becomes a frog. A boiling cauldron appears in front of the frog.
We're going to have toadstool!
The frog plops into the cauldron and leaps out, blowing on his feet. The skinny witch scoops him up in a spoon.
You're not going to eat this one.
The curvy witch turns the frog back into Fluda.
Come here, love.
Can anyone here perform marriages?
Marriages?
You love-struck witch!
Fluda becomes a frog again.
Where is he? Where'd he go?
Squashed in her ample bosom.
You? Where are you?
Don't go.
Now look what you've done. He's gone. I'll never forgive you for this, Orga. Never. There you are.
A restored Fluda catches a fly and swallows it.
Enough. We've come for the black cauldron.
Did you hear that, sisters?
Why, nobody's asked for the black cauldron in over 2,000 years. It's a trick. We're not going to let them have it, are we?
Don't worry. Leave it to me. Perhaps I might interest you in something else. A kettle, a cookpot, a skillet, a teapot, a bucket, a jar, a ladder.
The hardware flies round Taran's head.
See anything you like. I don't believe it.
The sword flies into the air and slices through the pots and crockery. Taran grabs hold of the shining blade, which lifts him up and carries on.
I've never seen a sword like that. I've got to have that sword. Listen carefully. We'll trade the cauldron for the sword.
But what can they do with the cauldron, Ordu?
Nothing. That's the point. Don't you see? We'll end up with both the sword and the cauldron. It's decided then. You shall have the black cauldron.
You mean you'll give it to us?
That's not what I said. You weren't listening. We never give anything away. What we do is bargain, trade.
Well, you'll not have my sword.
May I ask you ladies to perhaps consider this magnificent harp?
A harp? When we want music, we send for the birds. What would we do with a simple harp?
Well, Googie, we're traders. Crunchings and munchings.
Who would want...
Hold it, sister! Not so fast!
The skinny witch scoffs Gurgi's apple core.
All right. I know what you want.
Yes?
No, Taran. No!
It's our only chance. Here is my sword. Take it.
Is it your own choice, duckling? Remember, with this sword, you could be the greatest of warriors.
Yes. I offer my dearest possession in exchange for the black cauldron.
Agreed. We have made a bargain.
The three witches disappear in blue spinning light, and the gleaming sword follows. Taran's eyes widen as the pots and furniture start to shake, then fly into the air. The chest, a wooden stool, a pot, all spin round their heads. Dolly clings to Fluda's cloak as the mighty old tree is ripped from the ground, taking the cottage with it.
Watch out!
The wind whizzes the cauldrons through the air.
Macmillan!
Fluda avoids two flying pots. Taran, Ilonwy, Fluda and Gurgi throw themselves flat as the cauldrons stream past them and disappear into the misty distance. Taran lifts his head from his hands and peeps nervously at the now empty sky. Ilonwy stares around, eyes wide and mouth open, as the ground beneath them begins to shake.
Look!
A short distance away, the brown soil heaves upwards. The roots of a dead tree are ripped out of the earth and steam whistles up. The ground bursts open. Fiery red and black smoke fills the sky. As it clears, Taran's eyes are riveted to a huge black shape slowly shouldering its way out of the earth.
The black cauldron! It's ours!
A pink cloud rolls overhead, carrying the witches.
I say, what fun in little battles! Does they know the Black Cauldron is indestructible? Now listen carefully. The Black Cauldron can never be destroyed. Only its evil powers can be stopped.
But then there is a way. But how?
A living being must climb into it of his own free will.
Googie is bold and brave. He will climb into the evil cauldron.
However, the poor duckling will never climb out alive.
Yikes!
Look here, madam. Don't forget we had an agreement.
Yes, you said we could have the cauldron.
Of course we said we could have the cauldron. It's not our fault you can't do anything with it.
Lightning flashes inside the cloud as it rolls away. Night. Dead trees loom against the blue-grey sky. Taran, Ailonwy, Fluda and Gurgi sit miserably around a small fire. Perched on a tree stump, Dolly wags his foot angrily.
A bunch of blundering misfits! Things just never work out when you're dealing with people! You can go back to feeding pigs! I've had it! Goodbye!
Dolly streaks off in a blazing flash.
It's my fault. I let you down. Without my sword, I'm nothing. Just an assistant pig-keeper.
Look, you are somebody. You must believe in yourself. I believe in you.
You do? And I think that you're... That is...
Yes, Karen?
I mean...
Gurgi kisses Fluda.
What I mean is, I'm grateful to all of you. You've been true friends. Now it's up to me.
The Quithans circle above, peering down.
Trouble, go well.
Gurgi scarpers.
We can't let them find us.
Big boy!
A squad of the Horned King's guards loom over them. Another squad closes in from behind, and the massive brutes, armed with gleaming spears, surround them. From the shadow of a nearby tree, Gurgi watches, and his head droops sadly. In the shadowy depths of the Horned King's castle, a cart inches past piled-up skeletons of soldiers.
Careful now! You, hide them up over there, and get that cart out of here!
Taran, Ailonwy, and Fluda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've ignored you.
Hang by their wrists from a beam.
Come for the Black Cauldron, didn't you? Good! Then climb in! It will only cost you your life! Oh!
The Horned King's shadow darkens the wall.
Oh. Everything is ready, sire!
My, such a brave dancing group. A pig boy, a scullery maid, and a broken down minstrel. Perhaps it may interest you to see what fate has in store for you. Now I call on my army of the dead. The Cauldron Born.
He lifts a soldier skeleton above the cauldron and lowers it in.
Arise, my messengers of death. Our time. Arrived.
Red liquid trickles over the brim of the cauldron, splashing onto its claw foot, which digs into the stone floor. The king flings his arms up and out, and a column of white light erupts from the cauldron, turning gold before spreading as a cloud of red smoke. In its center, a ghastly skull-like face, mouth gaping in a silent scream. A crackle of white light fizzes round the face. The smoke disappears, and from their platform high above the floor, Ailonwy, Taran and Fluda watch in horror as a green haze oozes from the cauldron. The king's guards back away fearfully from the green mist, which seeps across the piles of skeletons sprawled on the floor. Outside the dungeon, rats flee down stone stairs and leap into an underground stream. Gurgi appears, tiptoeing alongside the stream, peering round him. In the dungeon, the green mist continues to pour from the cauldron. When one of the guards thrusts his spear into it, white light crackles like lightning round the blade. Skeletons suddenly rear up, clasping ancient weapons with the remains of armor hanging on their bones.
My beloved warriors have come to life. All the dead of centuries past. Never has anyone created an army like this.
The terrified guards drop their weapons and run.
Go forth, my deathless warriors. Destroy all in your path.
Come, sire. We can get a bit of view from above.
Oh, Taran. I'm afraid it'll soon be over for us.
I hadn't planned it to end like this, Ilonwy.
Oh, I wish I'd stayed a toad.
Outside, the skeleton army plods across the drawbridge. The king and Creeper watch from a window.
Moments away from victory. My greatest triumph.
We did it, sire! We did it! I mean, you! Yes, of course, you did it, sire!
Creeper kisses the king's arm. Inside, Gurgi clambers upstairs past oozing green mist and opens a door. A skeleton lurches through it.
Yikes!
Gurgi hurtles downstairs and hides in an alcove.
Gurgi? Gurgi? Is that you?
Master!
Gurgi, what are you doing here?
Gurgi's sorry. He always runs away when there's trouble.
Gurgi slips through metal bars onto the wooden beam.
Untie everybody. Then we won't leave this evil place.
Get on with it.
Good boy, Gurgi. Ilonwy, you and Fluda go with Gurgi. I must stop the cauldron.
Oh, but Taran, that's impossible. Why, you'd be... Taran!
I'm sorry, Ilonwy.
Please, Taran, no! You can't!
My mind is made up.
Wait, Master! Gurgi not let you jump into cauldron!
Gurgi, get out of my way!
Whoa!
Gurgi dislodges stones into the cauldron far below.
Please, Master, not go into evil cauldron.
If I don't, we're all lost. Out of my way.
No, Gurgi not let his friend die.
Taran has many friends. Gurgi has no friends.
Gurgi, no, don't jump. Wait, no, no!
Gurgi's little figure tumbles down into the cauldron, which belches out a ball of fire.
No!
Taran hides his face in his hands. The cauldron sucks back the flames. The cloud of red smoke pours back into it, followed by the green mist. Outside, skeleton soldiers tumble off the drawbridge into the moat.
Sire! Sire, look! Something wrong! What is it, sire? They're dying!
It can't be. This had better not be your fault.
The king grabs Creeper by the throat.
It needs another body, sire.
Yes, yours.
In the dungeon, Taran stops to stare at the cauldron, which is still swallowing the mist.
Get along, we're out of here. Hurry!
But Taran, I...
Go on, go with Fluda. Maybe there's still a chance for Gurgi.
He watches the flowing mist. Suddenly, the drifting mist becomes a gale, dragging Taran towards the black cauldron. He turns back, struggling to reach an iron ring fixed to the stone wall, and the wind knocks him to the floor. He crawls towards the wall and grabs the ring just as the king enters, carrying Creeper by the throat, and stares down at two skeletons.
No, sir! Please!
Get up! Come alive!
He grabs a skeleton.
They're only resting, sire. Do something! My life is at stake!
Get up, you fools! Kill!
Look! Sire, look! It's the big boy! It's his fault, yes! He's the cause of it!
You've interfered for the last time.
Go for his throat, sire!
Now, pig keeper! You shall die!
The king's claw-like hand closes on Taran's face.
No!
Taran kicks the king away.
Touch this!
The king loses his balance and the cauldron drags him towards it.
No, you will not escape!
Taran starts to creep away, but the king grabs him.
Shall you satisfy the cauldron's hunger?
The king hurls Taran to the floor as Ilonwy and Fluda return. Taran flattens himself to the floor. The king struggles away, but the cauldron drags him back.
No! You'll not have me!
The grim mask on the cauldron blazes red.
Oh, I cannot die!
The cauldron tears at the king's gown.
Curse you!
Creeper watches his master clutching at the cauldron, his fiery eyes staring into it.
No!
Fire and wind shred the king's gown and slowly reduce him to a skeleton, clinging in agony to the brim of the cauldron. A final ball of fire drags his bones inside.
Oh no! How horrible! Poor sire! He's gone! He's gone! He's gone! He's gone!
As Creeper dances away, Taran sees the cauldron turn fiery gold and blaze down through the stone floor, which caves in as he runs.
Ilonwy!
Over here! Hurry!
Taran grabs Ilonwy's arm.
Goodness, you're safe! Come on, Fluda! Hurry!
A Gwythyn sinks through the floor into fire and smoke. The floor in front of Taran splits open. Flames belch from the gap. He springs across and holds out his hand as Ilonwy leaps.
Come on, jump!
Fluda jumps, and a lick of flame sets the seat of his trousers on fire. Part of the roof collapses, but they dodge through to some steps leading down to the underground stream.
Taran, look!
A boat bobs on the water.
Get in. Let's go. Here. Push off, Fluda.
Trouble.
Iron gates block their way.
I'll try to open the gate.
Taran, be careful, please.
Waist deep in water, Taran struggles to undo the chained gates while flaming debris falls from the roof.
Hurry! Move on through!
Come on, Fluda, hurry!
Fluda bends to help Taran back in. A huge pillar sways above them. The roof collapses. The stream becomes a torrent, sluicing the boat forward on a foaming wave which bursts out of a tunnel, turning the boat over. Outside, the whole castle explodes in flames, slowly sinking into the moat. From the far side, the rats watch curiously as the last remnants of the mighty building sink into the water, which reflects the bursts of fiery light. Against the murky background of a grey, smoke-filled sky, Fluda, Ilonwy and Taran sit on the keel of the upturned boat. Creeper skims overhead astride a Gwythant, grinning and holding the dead king's horns to his head. Fluda glances at Taran and slowly poles the boat forward like a punt. In feeble sunlight, Ilonwy, Fluda and Taran walk wearily away from the boat. Behind them, the water boils and bubbles. The black cauldron floats to the surface. Taran stumbles towards the floating cauldron when the witch's cloud rolls overhead.
Yes, he's got what I wanted and he's still not satisfied.
Just what do you think you're up to, ladies?
We have business with your little hero.
Hero? Gurgi was the hero.
The only thing that mattered to you was the cauldron. But now it's no use to you. So we'll just take it and be on our way.
Wait. Stay your hand, ladies. We never give anything away. We bargain. We trade. Remember?
Did these oldies hear the word bargain? Hmm?
Yes, madam. Those old ears heard right.
Oh, I adore forceful men.
Oh, pull yourself together, madam. Now, come on. Out with it. What is your offer?
No, not
then
my...
Then I'll do it.
a magnificent sword for a warrior.
Taran stares at the shimmering blade, then backs away from it.
I'm not a warrior. I'm a pig boy. What would I do with a sword?
Absolutely nothing!
But I would trade.
Yes?
The cauldron for Gurgi.
Dear!
It's not possible.
Just as I thought, ladies. You've got no real power. Admit it! Admit it!
The witches' faces turn green, their hair pink. They zoom off their cloud, forming three whizzing rings round the cauldron, whisking it up and away in a blaze of dazzling white light.
We have made a bargain!
In the sky, black clouds spin in a circle which funnels down to the ground beside Taran, Fluda and Alonri, twisting lower and lower until it disappears, leaving Gurgi flat on his back on the bare earth. His mop of white hair twitches in the last breath of wind, but his sandy-coloured body, his white tummy and moustache, and brown paws remain motionless. Slowly, Taran walks over to his friend and kneels beside him, gazing down, then gently picks him up. Gurgi's head falls back, mouth slightly open. Taran looks down at him and his eyes fill with tears. One splashes down his cheek.
Oh, Taran.
Taran turns to see Fluda and Alonwi staring wide-eyed and miserable at Gurgi. He stands stock still, looks down, then buries his face in the furry body. He looks up, eyes closed. A furry paw reaches into his jerkin.
Something crunching in here somewhere.
Gurgi!
He lets Gurgi fall.
You're alive!
He's alive!
Great Beelan! He is alive!
Oh, Fluda, Fluda, he's alive!
I'm alive! Gurgi's alive! Look, look, look! Touch me!
Gurgi, you clever little thing!
Gurgi, clinging to Alonwi and Taran, pushes them together and they kiss.
Come on, Gurgi. Let's go home.
Gurgi's happy day!
Gurgi grabs Taran's hand. Taran gives his other hand to Alonwi. Fluda takes Alonwi's other hand and they all walk off together.
Great Beelan!
The shadowy figures of the four appear in a bowl of spinning red and gold liquid. Henwin's snout lies on one side of the bowl, her eyes fast shut, and Dolben and Doli peer down into it.
You did well, my boy.
Yep.
In the red and gold liquid, the four march happily on.
This audio description was written by Peter Wickham, narrated by Richard Mitchley. Engineer Pete Collins. Produced in association with Silver Screen Partners 2. Directed by Ted Berman and Richard Rich. Producer Joe Hale. Executive producer Ron Miller. Based on the Chronicles of Prydain series by Lloyd Alexander. Story: David Jonas, Vance Jerry, Ted Berman, Richard Rich, Joe Hale, Al Wilson, Roy Marita, Peter Young, Art Stevens. Music: Elmer Bernstein. Grant Bardsley as Taran, Susan Sheridan as Alonwi, Freddie Jones as Dolben, Nigel Hawthorne as Fluda, Arthur Mallett as King Idalig, John Biner as Gurgi and Doli. Fairfolk, Lindsay Rich, Brandon Call, Gregory Levinson. Ida Rice-Mirren as Ordu, Adele Malis-Mori as Orwen, Billy Hayes as Orgoch, Phil Fondacaro as Creeper. Henchman, Peter Renaday, James Almanzar, Wayne Allwine, Phil Fondacaro, Steve Hale, Phil Nibelink, Jack Lang, and John Hurt as the Horned King. Additional dialogue, Rosemary Ann Sisson and Roy Edward Disney. Prologue narrated by John Houston. Animators, Andreas Deja, Hendel Butoy, Dale Baer, Ron Husband, Jay Jackson, Barry Temple, Phil Nibelink, Steve Gordon, Doug Crone, Sean Keller, Mike Gabriel, Philip Young, Tom Ferreter. Jesse Cossio, Ruben Procopio, Vicky Anderson, David Block, Charlie Downs, Sandra Borgmeyer, Ruben Aquino, Cindy Whitney, George Scribner, Mark Henn, Terry Harrison, David Pacheco. Key coordinating animator, Walt Stanchfield. Effects animators, Don Paul, Mark Dindle, Jeff Howard, Patricia Peraza, Scott Santoro, Glenn Chiker, Barry Cook, Ted Kiersey, Kelvin Yasuda, Bruce Woodside, Kimberly Knowlton, Alan Gonzalez. Layout styling, Mike Hodgson. Layout, Don Griffith, Guy Vasilovich, Glenn Vilpu, Dan Hansen, William Frake III. Color styling, James Coleman. Background, Donald Towns, Brian Seban, John Emerson, Tia Crutter, Lisa Keane, Andrew Phillipson. Character design, Andres Deja, Mike Plug, Phil Nibbling, Al Wilson, David Jonas. Executive in charge of production, Edward Hansen. Production manager, Don Hahn. Assistant directors, Mark Hester, Terry Noss, Randy Payton. Picture and sound effects editors, James Melton, Jim Coford, Armetta Jackson. Sound effects designer, Mike Madonna. Sound effects, Paul Holsborne, Wayne Allwine. Re-recording mixers, Richard Portman, Nick Alfin, Frank C. Regula. Music scoring mixer, Sean Murphy. Re-recorded at International Recording. Sound supervisor, Bob Hathaway. Orchestrations by Peter Bernstein. Music editor, Kathy Derning. Music supervisor, Jay Lawton. Supervising music editor, Jack Wadsworth. Music preparation, Norman Corey. Music contractor, Reginald Hall. Special photographic effects, Philip Meader, Ron Ozenbaugh, Bill Kilduff. Additional animation, Kathy Zielinski, Jill Colbert, Kevin Wurzer, Sylvia Mattinson, Sue DiCicchio, Richard Hopp, Dave Brain, Morris Hunt. Additional story contributions, Tony Marino, Mel Shaw, John Musker, Steve Hullett, Bernie Mattinson, Ron Clements, Doug Leffler. Animation consultant, Eric Larson. Breakdown artists, Sue Adnapors, Barbara DeRosa, Edward Correll, Christine Liffers, Karen Spooner, Peggy Tononyogi, Anthony DeRosa, Denise Ford, Tina Grust, Elise Pastel, Louis Tate, Jane Tucker, Maria Ramocchi Rossetti, Stephen Zupkas. Effects breakdown artists, Ed Coffey, Peter Gullerud, Christine Hardy. Animation camera, Jim Pickle, John Ardle, Frank Tompkins, James Catania, Kieran Mulgrew, Jerry Kapenick, Stevie Hale, Rick Taylor, Ed Austin, Errol Aubrey, Brandy Whittington, Paul Wayness, Roy Harris, Neil Viker, Brian Holochek, Dan Bunn. Blue sketch artists, Roxy Novotny, Stephen, Kathy Zahr. Ink and paint manager, Becky Fallberg. Color model artists, Sylvia Romer, Debbie Jorgensberg, Brigitte Strother, Anne Paif. Xerox animation photo transfer, Bill Brazner, Didi Faber, Rafi Komashian, Carmen Sanderson, Jean-Pierre Gagnon, Robin Roberts, Bert Wilson. Effects photo transfer, Bernie Galliano. Painting, Gretchen Albrecht, Panny Campsie, Ginny Mack, Karen Comella. Final check, Hortensia Casagran, Wilma Baker, Robin Police. Print lab, Dodie Roberts, Betty Stark, Ray Owens. Scene planning, Dave Thompson, Brian LeGrady, Don Borland, Bob Mills, Rick Sullivan. Title graphics, Ed Garbutt. End title design, David Jonas. Still camera, Dave Spencer. Art props, Dale Alexander. Credit block, Insignia. Dolby Stereo in selected theatres. Colour by Technicolor. Copyright 1985 Walt Disney Productions. All rights reserved. Distributed by Buena Vista Distribution Company, Incorporated.